listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim Tarantine here with my friend and colleague, Amanda Harrison. And we're here because we had a great conversation with another top 50 site selector. Amanda, tell us about your conversation that you had.
Thanks, Tim. I was able to speak with Mina Hall this week. She is a managing director at True Partners Consulting Office in Chicago, and she really specializes in negotiating incentives and financial incentives for companies changing their operations. So Mina was a manager at two big four public accounting firms in Chicago prior to joining True Partners. And she's also got her Juris Doctor from Loyola University's Chicago School of Law. So she's an active member of the Illinois State Bar, and she's got some really deep insights to share with us about her career in site consulting and what her best practices and tips are for economic developers today. So without further ado, let's take a listen to what Mina's got to say.
Hi, Mina. Thanks so much for joining us today on North America's Top 50 Site Consultants, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we'd love to ask this first question just to get warmed up and have our audience learn a little bit more about you. So what are three things that everyone who's listening today should know about you?
Okay, so first, I married a former golf professional, but I still can't golf well, but I'm really hoping that my two awesome kids will hopefully be much better golfers than me. So that's one. The second thing, it's one of my minor superpowers, and so I can read upside down and backwards as long as the words are printed and not in cursive. So be wary. And then third thing, I'm a professional. I'm the overall education chair for credits and incentives through the IPT, which is the Institutes of Professionals in Taxation. And it's a group of consultants as well as industry professionals. So we have huge companies like Coca-Cola and Amazon who are members. So I'm actually thrilled to be appointed the overall education chair for that.
Those are three fantastic things. I love your minor super power. Nobody's ever said that before, so I love it. All right, next question. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the field of site selection, and now that you've been involved in it for a while, what makes you stay? What do you love about it?
So I was an attorney, practicing attorney, doing commercial litigation, which I absolutely hated. And everyone said, oh, you're too nice to be an attorney. And luckily for me, Arthur Anderson, way back in the day, was looking for attorneys to add to their tax practices. And lo and behold, they ended up hiring me, and I got my start doing credits and incentives as an attorney through Arthur Anderson's state and local tax practice. And my practice has grown ever since then. So the rest is history. And what keeps me staying is I love it. It's probably the most fun work environment that I've ever been in. I get to work with amazing people, both on the client side and as well as on the economic developer side. So if anyone can truly say they love their job, I can say that I'm one of them.
That's great. Yeah. And especially today in the world where a lot of people don't say that. So it's always great to hear when people love what they do, they have fun with what they're doing, and really have some passion around their work. So I would love to know, this is called An Inside Look. So do you have maybe an inside secret or two that you really lean on when you're assessing communities for a project that you could share with us today?
Sure. So for me, the biggest and most important thing is when a community can be, they're adaptable and they're responsive to my clients' needs. And what I mean by that is it shows that the economic development people, officials, and the communities are actually listening to what my clients' needs and wants are. And they're not trying to bucket us into one general, like everyone fits the same thing, one size fits all approach. And it's really noticeable during an actual, you know, when we're assessing communities and doing site selection, like which communities have the best feel for my client, because then you know that it'll be a successful relationship at the end if the client ultimately chooses to be at that location.
Absolutely. Do you have any examples, maybe a best case scenario of a community who did that recently, was really adaptable, responsive, and kind of custom fit what you were looking for?
Totally. So, you know, we did a project in Carroll County, Georgia, and it was a much smaller community. And they really put their listening ears on and they listened to what my client's needs were. The client wasn't really looking for lots of tax credits. They were really looking at the cost of operations being a food manufacturer. And when we came and visited, they actually brought their water engineer. He knew everything that we needed to know because we'd brought our engineer to the table too. And we pretty much got to hammer out what our costs would be, because with food manufacturing, as you know, the margins are pretty tight. And this was going to be a big cost to the company. And what the community did is they were able to kind of help us with mitigating some of our costs related to the utility that was going to be the most expensive part of their cost during that at that site location. So as a result, they tailor fitted it's not an incentive package, but a utility rate that actually worked for the client. And the site was ultimately chosen as one of the winning locations because of this tailored approach and because the community really listened.
Yeah, that's a great example. I love that you've mentioned a couple of times that active listening or really hearing what the client, what the company needs is important. So in a sense, that could be looked at as a marketing strategy, something you wouldn't normally consider as one, but I really like that you've narrowed in on that. Are there other types of marketing strategies that work really well on you and on your clients?
By laying out what my clients' needs and wants are and what kind of the elephant in the room is, so what the biggest issue may be. And again, you know, a lot of communities try to say, well, we're just going to throw a bunch of incentives at you. And sometimes that's great and that may help if that's the problem. But other times, like the example I just mentioned, if the problem is related to very specific components of a site, and if they can help address that, that's the type of marketing that I think is the best type of marketing, where you know that you're going to do everything that you can to make this company feel at home and like they belong there. And that approach, it's not salesy. It's a, hey, well, what can we do? How can we make this community better for everyone if you're here? And that's the kind of approach I think is very, you know, it works well for everyone, and it doesn't have that one-size-fits-all kind of feel to it.
You've talked about what communities can do to best market themselves and to really listen and present good solutions to the projects that are being sent their way. But what are some of those key issues that your clients are facing? And we hear things like workforce issues or maybe it is incentives, but are there certain issues that keep popping up right now in the climate that you're experiencing? And then what are some good ways you think economic developers could best meet or tackle those issues?
I'm going to sound like a broken record on this, Amanda. I'm sorry, but
That's okay. Do
think that as long as every community just does try to approach every project as being unique, even if it's the same company, but if they have a different project coming their way, if they can kind of keep an open mind and think that every project is unique, because what every company wants is the most efficient way to do the most amount of work at the lowest cost. So if we can try to keep that in mind, and again, it's not always about the largest dollar amount. Sometimes it's about something as little as, oh, can you help me expedite this permit through, because otherwise I'm going to miss my timing, which is going to cost me a lot more on the back end than, you know, some incentives that maybe the company may not be able to utilize.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes great sense. Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about you personally as a leader. So, Mina, how do you define success for yourself?
For myself personally, is to become a trusted advisor to my clients. Through hard work and through ethical advocacy, I would say, you know, I was part of Arthur Andersen, and I was very proud to be part of that company. And I think kind of embodying that and everything that they taught me was to be a very good advisor to my clients, to be part of their group. I consider myself an extension of my clients typically, and I think that's how typically I define success, because my clients keep coming back.
So that's how you define success for yourself. What about for your organization? Is it the same or are there any differences?
Oh, it's definitely the same for our organization. I mean, our company is called True Partners because we want to be a true partner with our clients. So we're hoping that that's kind of what I'm embodying, I think, is kind of what our organization embodies for all of our clients. We want to be an extension of the company, and that's how we treat our clients as if we would want to be treated.
Great. And then another kind of personal question, what is one leadership lesson that you've maybe learned throughout your career that you carry with you still and would hope to pass on to others?
For sure. I think the most important lesson is that the buck stops with me. That's it. No blame is passed to anyone else on my team. If something screwed up, it's my fault and I will own it, because it should just stop with you. And I believe that if you own up to your mistakes, people will have more respect for you. And that also helps you to mitigate some of the ill effects of having, if there was a mistake, which may not be all that great in the grand scheme, but if you own up to it and meet it head on, I think it's an easier way to actually fix the problems, if there are really any that arise from it.
Absolutely. That's a great leadership lesson. The last question I'm going to ask you today is, if you could tell a room full of economic developers who are listening today just one thing, what would you tell them?
See, marketing their programs, that's a fantastic tool and everything, but I think as long as each of them continues to understand that the most important thing that they can do is listen to my clients and to realize that, again, tailoring to each project is much better than kind of a one-size-fits-all approach. They'll realize that the benefit will be far outweighed by the cost of some of these incentives that they might throw at them or lower utility rates, et cetera. But as long as you tailor the approach, at the end of the day, I think they'll add far more value to a community than what the community thinks they might be providing to them. And I think it'll end up being a win-win situation for everyone at the end of the day.
Mina, thank you so much. These have been awesome insights for our listeners. And I just really appreciate you taking the time today to talk with us and share your experience a little bit. And again, we just want to congratulate you on being named by your peers as one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.